This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Okay, guys, this is... We don't have a lot of guests on the show, but today we have...
Well, thanks. You don't have a lot of guests. I appreciate that.
No, well, when we do, it's meaningful. It's meaningful. Jay Leno is here with us today, and I want to start by saying, Jay, that I don't even know if I've ever told you this, but when I first did The Tonight Show, I was nervous, right?
Me too.
Well, when you see a guy peeing his pants, you go, hey, wait a minute, you know, that big stain in the front. Yeah, maybe change, come back, you know. So that's, I mean, I don't want to say that was the giveaway, but you do that, you're in the business long enough, you go, hey, guys, pants are wet in front. That means, you know, probably a little nervous.
Yeah. This is thank you for being here. You are truly a living legend.
Well, dear, thank you.
Legend, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for saying I'm old. I appreciate that.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, you were a legend when I did The Tonight Show. Yeah. Same thing. I was so scared. Yeah. And, we'll get into it. I don't want to rush ahead of you.
And then you went back out. You did your warm-up, and then you went back out and said, hey, you know, I got a first-timer backstage. If you could, you know, really be receptive to him. So, and I was like, wow, that's cool that you did that. So we're so happy to have you here.
Well, thanks.
We need to get into a lot of things with you, and what you've seen over your career.
Are you grateful for your hair? It's still looking fantastic.
It's Italian hair, and that's fine. You're looking
still
at
still flowing, baby.
It's
still
Suave
flowing.
Shampoo. I really don't spend a lot of money on it. You know, it's that big 69-cent jar with shampoo in it. Yeah. So no, I can't.
The hair looks like it's been stress free for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not a stress guy. I don't stress at anything. I really do. It's not my brother. You know, my mother's from Scotland. My father's Italian. I got the Italian side. I got the hair. I got the teeth. My brother got all the bad stuff, the bad skin, you know, the English teeth. And he worried about everything, you know. He died about 20 years ago. And that's kind of what killed, you know, he had been in Vietnam and he got cancer and then it came back, you know. But he always worried about stuff and just all this all the time, you know. And I just never was that way.
You don't worry about anything. Like, talk about your career, because I worry a lot that this could go away tomorrow, right?
Yeah, but look at this way. If it goes away tomorrow, you're doing all right. At any point, you can end this and go, very successful career.
I guess I never look at it that
way. No, but I mean, it's true. I mean, if I had gotten canceled after 10 weeks on The Tonight Show, it would have been a nightmare. But after 22 years, I go, okay, I kind of proved it. If you don't like me, you don't like me, but you can't say I didn't accomplish something. You know what I mean? So no, I don't worry about it.
Well, Jay was saying right before you were here, when you stepped out, that he had did the correspondence and they saw it on the screen 5 times. And again, because you probably just did it and didn't worry about how they took
it. Well, I'll tell you, first time I did, it was Reagan. So I got to go in there.
Oh, how cool is that?
And
Before being shot or after being shot?
No, after being shot.
Okay. All right.
Post shot.
Well, I'm thinking material wise.
No.
Guy's shot. You got so much to work
with. It
probably
wouldn't be tasteful to do dead president material. But I'm standing backstage, you know. I'm just standing like in a green room. And it's general comes in. It's got all these. He goes, hey, you a comedian? Yeah. This is the president of the United States. You understand that? That is my commander in chief. You don't make fun of him. You don't denigrate. And he's poking me in the chest, you know? And I go, well, sir, I'm not. But no, I don't want to hear it. He gives me this big lecture. He leaves. I go, oh, man. You know, I'm saying. And then George Shultz, remember him? He was Secretary of Defense. He comes in. I don't want to say he was drunk, but he had a drink in his hand. He goes, Leno, come here. And you get out there, you nail Ronnie's ass to the wall. I go, well, you know, this general, I don't care, but he works for me. He works for me. You go, that thing on Reagan's head, you think that's his hair color? You think that's his hair color? I go, I don't know. So, I'm like, what am I going to do? I got yelled at by one guy, and then this Shultz comes out. But I remember the opening joke, and this really made Reagan laugh. I said, I want to congratulate Nancy Reagan on being named Humanitarian of the Year. I'm glad she beat out that conniving little bitch, Mother Teresa. You know, and Reagan, whoa! And Reagan fell out of there. I went, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. Oh, so man. It was okay. So, yeah.
Right. That's, you know, I guess on some level, it's really just another corporate gig. And you have like the CEO going, you can make fun of the boss. Don't worry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, it is like a corporate gig. But in a lot of ways, it's worse because, you know, I kind of remember when I hosted Saturday Night Live, during the rehearsals, guys would do stuff. And half the guys would laugh in the room, and the other guys wouldn't do anything. And I remember saying to one of the writers, I said, that's pretty funny. Well, you know, guys only laugh their own stuff, because you laugh the other guy's stuff. It's like your stuff wasn't any good, and their stuff is bad. So it was so competitive.
Wow.
You know, and everybody kind of, like when I did The Tonight Show, I hired everybody for a year. I said, you're in for a year, okay? So just take your time. It's going to take a while to find the voice, but don't worry about the job. Just worry about writing jokes and stuff. Okay. But Saturday Night Live, every 13 weeks, you didn't know until like the next, your contract came in. I didn't come in. I get it. You know what I mean? It seemed like, I mean, I'm not knocking Saturday Night Live. It's a great show. I'm just saying it was a very tense place. The writers were always like on pins and needles and worried.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that worked for them. But to me, I just wasn't comfortable with that. So when we had the time, you know, we just kind of hired a guy for you, and everybody kind of relaxed and took it easy, and it's made it a little easier. Yeah.
It's the same thing, though, years ago with stand-up. Like, there are certain times when, like, I stopped, like, hanging out around comics that I felt like were just negative all the time and, like, you know, worried about, are we going to make it? Are we not going to make it, you know? And that kind of would take away from my creativity. So... And that's just doing stand-up.
Right.
So when you're writing on a show and you're sitting there.
But you know, I've always been a huge believer in low self-esteem. That's the key to success. If you don't think you're the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known comics that have gotten shows and they go, no, I don't like this lighting. Well, you're not a lighting director. To me, hire the best director, hire the best lighting person. And listen to them. If they say you suck, well, you must have sucked. Why would they say you suck if you didn't suck? Why get mad if somebody says the show sucked? You know, okay, tomorrow we'll do better. And that always worked for me, you know? Because, you know, most people can't do anything. Some people can do one thing. I can do one thing. I think I can tell jokes. Oh, okay. I don't think I'm a lighting guy I'm thinking for the joke for the moment. I'm not thinking long range, you know? So a lot of the people... Let people plan that stuff out. I just hired the best people could. Let them do the job, and it worked fine. Because I think we've all been on shows where everybody hates the boss, and they don't care if they lose a job as long as that prick loses his job. You know what I mean? We've all seen. And my show was kind of like that too for a while. When I had the first manager there, she just went a little crazy, and I had to end that relationship. But yeah, that's the thing. You know, you just sort of. I'm not even sure what the question was, but
Let's get into a second, because I was in line with the legendariness. And Sebastian was mentioning earlier about, like, I can't imagine he must have spoken with everybody. But just meeting, on a level of meeting, did you ever meet the Pope?
No, but I'm not Catholic, so meeting the Pope doesn't mean anything to me.
All right. So, who was, like, in your eyes, well, like, Have you chatted with presidents alone over drinks?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the fun part, you know. I mean, like, when you have Batman on it's not really Batman. It's an actor playing Batman.
Right,
you know. So the idea that you're not really talking to Batman, you're talking to some actor playing Batman, you know. But I can remember when Hillary looked like she had the nomination locked up. I mean, just looked up, you know. She had and all of a sudden this guy Barack Obama pops up. You know, I thought, that guy's pretty interesting. You know, he gave a speech at the convention. So I called him up and I said, hey, you want to come on? Oh, yeah, great. You know?
When you say you called him up.
Well, he wasn't famous. He was chosen to speak at the convention. So, that guy's a good speaker. I bet he'd be a good guest. So you tell your staff, let's see if we can get in touch with that guy.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I call him up, you know, okay. So he comes out, you know. Rents a car, drives to the Tonight Show, comes in, he's got his jacket over his shoulder, you know. And he comes out, please welcome Barack Obama. He goes, Jay, my name's Barack Hussein Obama. I'm running for president of the United States. I said, well, let's see. A black guy from Chicago, his middle name Hussein. I said, you shouldn't even have to campaign. I think you're just going to win just like that, you know. And he thought that was really funny. And so we got off to a good start. We had a lot of laughs, you know. It was funny. So we became friends. So then he gave me his cell phone number. So then the next time he's on the show, he's president. And by that time, when you'd come in that big 12-acre parking lot, it was all tented. So when the presidential limo came in, a satellite could not see what building it went into, you know. So now, see, you're like, you come from a neighborhood, so do I. You have the same idiot friends you had when you were in eighth grade. So I'm telling my friends, you know, hey, you know, Barack Obama gave me a cell phone number. Hey, let's call him up. I go, okay, he's president of the United States, okay? I'm not going to call him. No, you don't have it. You don't have it. I do have it. You shut up. You know, okay, now yeah. It's just like, I wouldn't have this fight with anybody, but since it's the guys you grew up with, you know, it's just so stupid.
Yeah.
So I said, all right. And what's it? It's noon. That's 3 o'clock. Okay, that's not late. But I dial the phone. I got on speaker. Ring.
Oh,
hello? He says, Barack here. Mr. President. Yeah, Jay Leno. What can I do for you, Jay? Should I lose this number? Lose the number, Jay. Click, and he hangs up. It was really funny. It was really funny, yeah.
Oh, man. But then you got your proof, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, that's...
have you ever been invited to Martha's Vineyard since then?
No, I never...
You don't seek it out.
I've been to Martha's Vineyard.
Like, you never, like, you know, went paddleboarding with Barack or anything like that?
No, you don't really go, hey, what are we doing this weekend? Right. Okay, he's president of the United States.
But now that he's not, I'm saying, like, I feel like there's so many people that you should hang out with.
Should I invite myself?
You should. Everybody would have you in.
No,
you're
should.
A living legend.
Not really.
Right. I disagree. I think you could be golfing with Clooney tomorrow if you wanted to.
I don't want to golf. I don't play golf.
Loving the cause.
No, you know, it's just low self-esteem. That's the key. Just mind your own business. I don't really hang out. I'm not. You know what it is? The great thing about being in the Tonight Show was I could be in show business without being in it, in the sense that I could observe everything without doing coke and banging hookers and all that crap. I could, to me, I love Charlie Sheen. I don't want to be Charlie Sheen, but Charlie Sheen makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, one day, we got Charlie booked on the show. I get this call about 4 o'clock. We tape at like 5 at then. I go, yeah, it's Charlie. Oh, man, listen, limo got T-boned. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. It caught fire. It's okay. It's not a big deal. I said, well, listen, you, don't worry about it. I can get Rob Schneider or come. I'll get somebody to fit. Don't worry about it. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks. So I said, well, Charlie, limo. What? Yeah. So, you know, TMZ, everything's on. No, I don't hear anything about it. I said, give me the limo driver, will you? Joe? Yeah, Jay Leno. Hey, what's up? Did you pick up Charlie? No, I'm outside the house, but he hasn't come out yet. I go, you didn't get T-boned? He goes, what? No, he said he got T-boned on the one. I'm thinking, okay, this is like the kind of lie an 8-year-old will tell. You know, like, there's a monster under the bed. You know, the kind of thing you can check in a second, you know? So I called you. I go, what are you doing? I just spoke to the limo driver. I said, we'll do it. You know, he was high. I don't know what he was doing. But it just made me laugh. It's such a stupid. What you, don't tell me. I'm thinking, oh, my God, is he okay? You know, right. We got people. Yeah. What are you? We're not going to check. Right. One of our guests is in an accident. Yeah. The car is on fire.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, that's true. He's probably going, I can't believe you. Yeah, check. Yeah, yeah. I didn't think you checked.
You're
making a call.
Yeah, that's why I love. I mean, I could be around that without being.
That's great.
You know, like I stopped going to the Comedy Store, and I love the Comedy Store, but, you know, Sam Kennison would come in, he'd have his guns, and he'd be doing coke, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to be here when this place gets raided,
right?
Because I'll get dragged in, and I'm sure I don't do coke, but I'm sure I'd have residue or something. You know, there'd be something. No one thinks you're innocent if you're not.
Yeah.
So I just told Mitz that, you know, I didn't go back for 30 years. I really didn't. Yeah. I just said, I'm a comic, you know, people lose sight. That's why it's a business. I mean, you do it the right way. You go, you work, you go home. I mean, that's the trick. I enjoy it. I enjoy being around it. I'm not absorbed by it. I don't think, oh, this is, you know.
Yeah,
I'm really something. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Jay Leno. Yeah, I get it.
And how do you raise kids in a mobile home?
Hello, son. Where do you live?
I'm right now living on exit 9 of the New Jersey Turnpike. We just got a flat tire. It's the longest we've lived anywhere. Suppose you're a kid, you just got your license. Dad, I got a date Friday. Can I take the house?
Sure, son. Your mother and I will wait here by the side of the road.
Thank you very much.
You don't know what a spot on a show, a national show, means to somebody like that. And he came out and delivered. Jay Leno's his name. We're going to have him back. We'll be right back.
All right, man. Spring is almost here. It is time. Get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last. Our friends over at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Make it 300,001 because I use them. They're great. Their shades have durable frames and crystal clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. Listen, these glasses don't just look and feel great. I wear mine when I'm biking. And even when I'm not biking, I wear them when I'm hanging. Just want to look cool. And if your shades go MIA or they take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got a lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Maybe you run into the ocean, forget you have them on, do a headfirst dive, lose your shades. Don't worry, they got you covered. And if you don't lose your shades, exchange or return them free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. No risk. So if you don't like them, you can return them anyway. Exclusively for all our listeners, Shady Rays has given their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use the code THECAST, that's all one word, THECAST, for $20 off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars for over 300,000 people. Shady Rays, baby, go get them. ShadyRays.com.
Well, I know you'd work on the weekends in Hermosa, right?
I did last night.
And like, what, like, do you, when?
Every Sunday since 78.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know, it's funny. So it's a nice room.
Yeah, no, I like the Magic Club.
Well, you know what's nice about it? It's normal audiences. When you work the improv and the comedy, they're great rooms, but it's like Taylor Negron used to do a bit about that. You have jokes that work as far as La Brea and maybe to La Cienega because it's so hip and inside.
Yeah.
The rest of the world doesn't know what you're talking about. You know, that was a problem when I was in Boston. There were so many great Boston comics. But they just stayed in Boston. So they had jokes about Mayor White and, you know, Copley Square. You know the thing down there by Copley Square? Yeah. Well, people scream with laughter. You go to Hartford and they go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So to me, my thing was always, when you get famous somewhere, just get out. Go to the next place. Go to the next level, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
So when you left the Tonight Show, did you look back at all and miss it, or just it was full? Like even today, do you look back and go, "Oh yeah, I miss going."
You know, the Inquirer had a picture of me. It's so stupid. It's a pic. Somehow they got a picture of me standing by a fence, and it said Jay Leno gaze longingly into his old city. No. You know, I'm a stand-up comic. You're a stand-up comic. You like doing the bookie? Good show. It's not your life.
Yeah.
You know, you like doing this thing? It's not your life. You know, you can't lose your stand-up. Those other things are all tangential. You could this. They come and go, it's nice. I enjoyed the people I work with. I really liked it. It was fun. I mean, I realized I did the Tonight Show longer than I went to junior high, high school, and grade school. And I go, really? It was 22 years, you know? I think, okay. But when it's over, you kind of go, okay, I get it. It ends. I mean, I ended on a Thursday, and Friday I had a gig in Florida and a bunch of. I just booked it because I always. TV only lasts this long, or maybe this long, but it does end.
Right.
Stand-up's like golf. You can play it till you're 80 or till you can't physically get on stage. I mean, Rickles, they brought him out. He'd go out in a wheelchair. They carry him out in a wheelchair, and he goes, pocky, yell at people.
But, all right. The Tonight Show was the first big show I ever did stand up on.
Right.
And you have that, first of all, you have that book. I wanted to bring up that book that you signed. Remember that book you signed? Yeah. The Tonight Show, they have a book in the green. Have you ever perused through that book since you retired?
It's interesting. We just talked about that.
Really?
Somebody talked about doing a podcast with showing everybody's first, you know, Taylor Swift when she's 14, you know, right. that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
And then show them what they wrote in the book and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm thinking about it, but I don't know.
I got my start in New York. So when I got the Tonight Show, which was just unbelievable, I flew out and I got in a day early. And I got to show you the photo before you leave. I'll show it for the listeners later. So I got my hotel. I'm so nervous. And I lay out by the pool so long that by the time I do the show the next day, I literally look Sicilian, like right off the boat. Like, right. like people were calling, not saying good set. They were calling to say nice tan.
Right.
Right. So, and I want to ask, and then halfway through my set, I hear you laughing behind me. You were so nice. Because when I got there, the woman goes, you're going to come out, you hit this X and da-da-da. And, you know, Jay's not going to talk to you. He's very busy. So don't expect to spend time with Jay. And then you came in the green room and you chatted for a long time about stand-up and you know, doing it in New York and this, that, and the other thing. And then I'm up there and I'm doing a joke and I hear you laughing. And it's probably kind of like how you said that time happened on Fallon. I just couldn't think of my next joke. And I was like going blank. And now I'm freaking out and I'm like, oh, my God. And they had a board where they write your jokes on it.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is, by you get to Tonight Show, I don't even need the board. I've been practicing this in every club in the city. But then all the lights are on. I hear you laugh. And I'm having an out-of-body experience. I'm like, oh, wait, the board. And I just take the next joke. And, like, to an audience member, you barely notice the hesitation.
Right.
But for a comic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, God, it was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. I always say, if you think you're going too slow, slow down.
Yeah. But do you notice that in comics when they come on, how nervous they are? And like,
yeah, or, you know, when they get a laugh. There's this thing that happens with Tonight Show or any TV audience. They applaud. So now you have to kind of wait. In a club, they don't applaud a joke. They laugh at a joke. So they go, you know, somebody hits a sign or something there. And then you see people get thrown. You know? Yeah, so that's kind of funny.
What's your take on appearance, like as a comic? And true, because you're a comics comic. How important do you think it is? Your look. Like, do you have to have a certain look?
Here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
You know, there's nothing funnier to me when I see actors play comedians in movies because they're watching themselves. They're on stage, but they're in the audience watching themselves to see how they look. Do you think Rodney Dangerfield ever cared what he looked like?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, and you're a comic, you're just getting a laugh. If I turn my head this way, my hair flies out and it gets a laugh, great. I hope it does that every, I'm going to comb my hair so it does that every time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right,
I mean,
right.
So that's what I mean. So to me, you're the only guy. He comes out, oh my God. I thought it was Sophia Loren the first time I was under. Beautiful skin, the hair, the jacket, there's not a crease and everything. I'm going, this guy's the most beautiful guy I've ever seen. But yeah, you're the only guy. You're the only guy.
We had a conversation once. Let's say you're doing a show, headlining, and like you just got up there, and all of a sudden you find yourself, you got to blow your nose. Right, all of a sudden, maybe you just came from outside. Do you go the whole show going, oh God, I'd love to blow my nose?
Or yeah, I think so.
Turn to the crowd.
No, you know what? But I think you know this. If you have a Band-Aid on this finger, and you're on stage, they're watching the finger. What is he going to get to that? He's going to. So if you don't address everything,
yeah.
You know, it says when we ever see a comedian, and they have, you know, especially if they have a beard or something. Oh, is it going to be? Could talk about the beard. I think you always have to address it. But like Rodney, I remember once reading a review. Rodney played the main room at the Comedy Store, and. The reviewer was like a guy from the Times who is not, he's like a theater reviewer. And he said, Mr. Dangerfield's annoying habit of constantly adjusting his tie and his suit appeared to be too small. Well, yeah, Rodney Warsaw, like one size too small. And the tie was always choking him. I tell you, that was, and I'm thinking, that's his act. that's what makes it funny. I mean, this guy just missed the whole point of Rodney. So he goes, the jokes are funny, but it's an annoying habit of going, oh, I tell you. But I mean, that's what the joke is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you have somebody on the show, like Johnny Carson had Rickles? Did you have a guy that, or a woman that came on the show that you were like, oh, we really have a good, like you well, look,
a lot of people
look forward
like that,
to?
Yeah. I always like having the comics on. Rodney, because you know, when I was a kid, I'd watch Rodney with Johnny. And my favorite times are when Johnny would play the straight man. Like, you know, yeah, yeah. I tell you, Johnny, today's okay, but last week was terrible. Last week was bad. Was it? Oh, Johnny. Yeah, and Johnny would just throw out these straight lines. And I thought, oh, how much fun would that be to do that with Rodney? So yeah. When I would have him on the show, I really got the chance. And that was my favorite thing to do, because hot outside, oh, Jay, I tell you, it's okay now, but last week it was so hot. You know, it just hot was it? Oh, I tell you. You pick up his last line, and he liked it because being a comic, he got the rhythm. He knew I could get in his rhythm. So it worked out really a lot of fun. I know if I told you, I've told this story before, but, you know, here's how well I knew Rodney's act. In 2004, I had him on The Tonight Show. And
I'm sorry. How do you remember dates? Like 2004?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you why. Because Rodney was in his 80s at this point. And slipping a little bit. Not enough that I think an audience would know. But as a comic, you know, the hand wouldn't come all the way up. You know, it would just go to here. You know, just a little thing. Yeah. You know, and I'm watching him, you know. So he's doing fine. And I said to Debbie, our producer, I said, call the paramedics. I think Rodney's having a stroke. She goes, really? I go, yeah, just call him. So we call the paramedics. And Rodney sits down. Rodney goes, oh, Jay, I'm okay today, but last week, you know. And he's just sweating more. I mean, really sweating, you know. But he did okay. And he finished the segment. You know, the show ends. He's in the dressing room. By this time, the paramedics show up. And I just got on the right. I said, Rodney, can the paramedics look at you? What's up? I thought maybe you had a stroke. I'm fine. Well, he did have a stroke. So they take him away in a stretcher. Okay. So he's in the hospital. And Joan, his wife, calls me. She says, Jay, you got to come out to the hospital. Rodney's in a coma. I go out there, and he's lying there, and his eyes are open, you know. And she said, he can't move, but he can hear us. So I'm telling him how much we love him, how great he was, letting us work Dangerfields. You know, I lived in the storeroom behind the stage for 2 weeks. My wife and I slept there when we were in New York playing Dangerfields because we couldn't afford a hotel. So he was sleeping there with all the cans of spaghetti sauce and everything. You know? So it's all just talking to him, you know. So then Joan says, Jay, put your finger in Rodney's hand. She goes, Rodney, if you know it's Jay, try and squeeze his finger. Right. So I put my fingers in and I feel just a slight squeeze. And I went, Rodney, that's not my finger. Right? You know. So Rodney's shoulders go like this. And he moved it off. And John goes, he moved. Yeah, and we're all laughing and everything. And, you know, he passed away not long after that.
Yeah.
But it was great to get a laugh from Rodney just one last time.
My goodness, man.
And, you know, I knew Rodney 40 years. I have no idea if he was Republican or Democrat. We never talked, but all we ever talked about was jokes.
Yeah.
And he was the master at the economy of words, you know, the fewest number of words to get to the joke, you know. I mean, I used to love that joke about go down the street, I see this nightclub, it's a topless and bottomless. I went in, there was nobody there, you know. I mean, just a great, quick joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, I went to the doctor. He said, I need a semen sample, a sperm sample, and a stool sample. So I get my underpants, you know. Just those kind of stupid, just so stupid.
Right.
Yeah, just hilarious. Hilarious.
In fact, I found out my wife is faking orgasms.
Faking
off. Yeah, four of my friends told me, you know.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. All right, guys, picture that thing you've always wanted to learn. Now picture learning it from the person who's literally the best in the world at it, because that's what you get with Masterclass. And this year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors, so whether you want to master negotiation with Chris Voss or think like a boss with Martha Stewart, Masterclass has you covered. There's over 200 classes to choose from, like learning to shoot hoops from master shooting basketball extraordinaire Steph Curry. Anything you want, it's there. Every new member, too, comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off annual membership at masterclass.com/thecast. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/thecast. Masterclass.com/thecast. 15% off right now. What are you waiting for?
Movies were fun, too, when we were kids. I loved those movies.
Caddyshack and when he did the... Back to School. I thought Back to School was my favorite.
Yeah.
Like that scene where where you have the business class and you're this, and he goes, and where are you building this place? In Fantasyland? What about the Union? You got to grease that guy. You know, he's got all, yeah, I thought it was a great movie. Yeah, he was wonderful.
I liked Easy Money. That was another great
Easy
one.
Easy Money, yeah.
There's
yeah.
Two, remember there's two bald guys? He goes, hey, why don't you put your heads together? Make yourselves an ass.
Right, right. Yeah. Just, yeah.
yeah. My whole life I wouldn't kiss her face. No, I'm kissing her ass. That's how the movie ended. He was great. What a run.
No, yeah. No, he was great. Ron,
got
was
the
terrific.
Last shoulder shrug from Rodney. Yeah.
He was terrific.
So you bring up politics, and I remember you didn't really, I mean, you made fun of kind of
both sides
yeah. And it wasn't that big of a deal.
Well,
and
now you get crap for making fun of both sides and not picking a side. You know, people attack me because, you know, why don't you say which one? Well, that was the idea when I was doing the time. You get angry, like, well, Leno, you and your Democratic buddies. Well, I hope you and your Republican friends. I go, oh, good. Okay, they're both mad or yeah. They're both happy, whatever it might be. But now you have to say who. I mean, I think this is why TV, everybody just says where they are. And plus you have the, like people always say, I bet you wish you were still doing the show with Trump. I go, no. Because when you dislike a guy, it's much harder, you know. George Bush, Barack Obama, you could poke them and have fun, and they got it, you know. But now people just get furious, you know. Mm-hmm. I rarely do politics anymore, only because you're doing fine, you're getting laughs, and you start a thing with Trump in it, and they wait. Oh, is this for or against Trump?
Yeah.
No, they want to know the punchline before you get to it. You know, it's really annoying.
You just split your audience right in half for no reason.
Yeah,
for what? Just because you want to get a chip off your shoulder?
But, you know, I got friends on both sides.
I'm sure.
You know, I mean, you live in this world now. If you have an electric car, well, you're a vegan. And, you know, and if you have a gas car, you like guns and Trump. Right. Well, no, you can have an electric car and own a handgun. I mean, you know what I mean? It's, you know what I mean? But that's the world you live in now. It's like just crazy. You immediately assign this, that, you know, so it's a little stupid. So.
Well, I mean, you come up in the day of comedy where, you know, comedy was comedy. Now you're working rooms and it's a completely different animal. Do you at all edit what you think is funny or?
Well, you know. Times change. I don't find it that big a problem. You know, if you want to go back to the 30s, even in movies, people did the most racist jokes. I mean, you know, or if the audience doesn't laugh, that's your cue. I mean, when I was a kid, women drivers were a big thing of comedy. You know, Bob Newhart told me once he played a college. And he says, so here's a, this is a rather nervous driving instructor meeting, whatever, Mrs. McGillicuddy, learning to drive for the first time, 80 years old, you know. And he soon he said, Mrs. McGillicuddy here, boos. And he goes, what are they booing? What are they booing? Well, because it was a woman, but it was an old person learning to drive. It just as easily could have been a man. And he told me he didn't catch it at first. Why are they booing? It's like, he's being sexist. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so.
I was watching a Kirk Douglas movie in my hotel yesterday, and he smacked the woman in the face. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa, that. Whew. I felt it on my teeth on the bed. Yeah.
You remember Sean Connery told Barbara Walters about slapping it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was a tough guy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite guys.
Man.
You know, 1953, he was third runner up, Mr. Universe. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was the perfect anybody. He was a longshoreman. He'd fight you with the drop of a hat. You ever heard of a gangster named Johnny Stomponato? You know that name?
It does sound familiar.
Johnny Stomponato, I think, was dating Lana Turner. And he was
That's why I read about it.
A tough gangster.
Wouldn't let it go, right?
So Lana Turner is doing a movie with Sean Connery.
Yes.
And I guess she's flirting with Sean Connery. So Johnny Stomponato shows up on the set, puts a gun to Sean Connery's head. Don't mess with my woman. Sean like grabs the gun, whacks him in the head with it, takes out the bullets and goes, you don't bring a gun to my workplace, and throws the gun back at him. Oh, yeah.
Totally. I read about that recently. Yeah, that's great.
He was a tough. And the funny, you know, he would like, he'd come on and go, Gee, what's the latest filthy joke going about, Gee? You know, so I'd tell him the joke, and he would laugh like a pirate. I mean, so loud, literally, that the news crew upstairs would come down and go, hey, can you keep it down? You tell Sean Connery to keep it down. I'm not going to tell him to keep it down. And he was the only guest. You know those stupid showers they had in NBC in the dressing rooms? The shower was like this bit. Nobody ever. He was the only one. He would go in there, oh, Scotland. He'd be singing, you know. At the top of his lungs, I'll be in Scotland for you. La, la, la. And people go, what's all the noise? It's Sean Connery. You go tell him to stop singing.
Oh, man.
I love that guy. He was a great guy. And, a really tough guy. But, you know, the idea was you take this thug, you put him in a Savile Row suit, you have him talk about expensive wine or something, and, suddenly he's James Bond. You know, to me, he was always the best because he was like the most dangerous Bond. Yeah. Roger Moore was like the Pillsbury Dough Bond, you know. He's kind of soft. He wasn't, you know. Sean Connery was like a tough guy. You know?
I felt like, though, the women in the Moore movies made love to Roger because they wanted to. Connery was, you were fear, out of fear. He wanted to make love to you. I'm like, okay, I guess so. This guy's crazy.
I never thought of it that way. This could be a kind of homoerotic situation. I think you may be speaking more for yourself than, what can I do? Sean had me pinned down. I don't know. I can't prove that, of course. I'm just saying.
Well, listen, before I forget, I want to ask you, you were talking about tough guys. You were obviously a legend on the scene in New York and Boston specifically. By the way, I heard these stories about you playing the Boston rooms and then getting in the car and going to New York with some friends to get in a late night spot in New York.
Oh, you would do that.
I tried to do the math. I'm like, unless he's doing a 7 o'clock show in Boston.
No,
I don't even
know. It was 2 hour drive.
Man. So through those years, have you ever had, because people are going to buy a drink after the show, the mobs being, the mafia being so popular.
As you say, I remember as a catcher one day, catch a rising star. And a lot of mob guys used to go in there. And this guy comes up and he goes, hey, kid, you're a funny kid. And he takes a $100 bill and puts it in my pocket, you know. I said, oh, no disrespect, sir. Thank you. Give it to the church or something. I appreciate it. I don't be disrespectful. And he said to me, you're smart. You don't take money from people like me. That's very smart. I said, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And nobody ever bothered me. And, you know, that's how the mob would get their hands in guys, because guys think it's cool to hang out. Yeah, I'm hanging out with this guy. You know, and they go, hey, listen, would you go out to the airport, pick up a package for me? Appreciate it. No, you just go out to the airport, pick up, you know, and then you wind up, you're a mule or something, you know.
Yeah.
So, I always used to see those guys. I would tell you, I was playing Boston one time, and this is so stupid. I'm on stage, and I see the bouncer seating a guy. He's like, right in front of a pole. The guy goes, Paul can't say anything. I'm like, but sorry, Mr. Leno. I'm fine. So I'm doing that. And then I hear, and I go, I see the guy drag the guy out, you know. So what's this all about, you know? So I come off stage. What was that all about? Oh, you know, the guy that didn't like his seat, you know, and he got in a fight with Billy. And so Billy takes like a Bowie knife, stabs the guy in the leg and just cuts him up. So they pull him out of the chair. They give him $20, put him in a cab and just send him away. So, all right. So, I don't know. Then like 2 months later, I get a call. Jay, this guy from the club. He goes, listen, you remember Billy the bouncer? I think so. Remember the guy who helped you? Well, how did he help me? Remember the guy who was making noise and Billy stabbed him? I go, well, yeah, but that really didn't help me. He goes, well, what's the problem? He goes, Billy killed a guy and now the cops are hassling him. And I said, gee, you think the cops would hassle real criminals instead of guys like Billy? And this guy with IB goes, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking, you know? I mean, it never occurred. He killed a guy. He killed a guy and he got arrested. They wanted me to testify for him. I go, I don't know him. He stabbed a guy who didn't like his seat. Okay, that didn't really help me.
I love how you say that. Listen, it didn't really help me. I didn't do a bit off of that. You know?
Right, exactly. So it's like, oh, geez, you know.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Was it prevalent in when you're doing Vegas?
Not so much for me, but the generation before me. You know, I would ask Rickles about it, and I think he was scared to death. He says, I don't talk about it. You know, because you remember Maury Amsterdam on Dick Van Dyke Show? Remember him?
No, I don't remember.
Did you ever watch a Dick Van Dyke Show?
It
was about comedy. It was Rose Marie and Maury Amsterdam. Maury Amsterdam was a stand-up, and he got a job playing like the George Cosenza part, like on Seinfeld, with Dick Van Dyke. But he got his start because Al Capone saw him in a club, and Al Capone said, you're funny. Al Capone put him in all his clubs in Chicago, and that's how he got famous.
Mm, wow.
Doing stand-up, you know.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Did you have any, did Frank Sinatra ever come on the Tonight Show?
I work with Sinatra.
Did you open up for him?
Yeah.
How was that? Was that like?
I was more Dean Martin, Tony Bennett. Dreesen is the Sinatra guy. He's got all the stories. I didn't really like it because it was one day it's Mr. Sinatra, next day it's fine. I don't want to go in, but am I a friend? I'll go in. I never quite knew where I stood. And he did have a, Frank had a temper. We were having dinner one time at Bob Newhart's house, and a log, they had a fire going in the fireplace. Yeah, a log slips and kind of rolls out, and Frank, what the hell's going on? I quickly pick up the log, and I put it back in the thing, and Frank's, what the hell's going on? And it's like, oh, okay, Rickle's gone. Why'd you pick up that log? I go, well, no, it rolled out. I just picked it up with the tongs. It's not that big a deal. But, I mean, everybody was so on pins and needles. Tony Bennett, I love Perry Como. I work with all the Italians. It was great. Perry Como one time, my mother really knew nobody in show business, but she knew Perry Como. And we were playing the Chateau de Ville in Framingham, Massachusetts, And I said to Perry, I said, Perry, my mom's in the audience. Oh, is she? So my mom's sitting there, My mom is the shyest person. So Perry Como comes off the stage, takes her hand, kisses her hand and sings, Ave Maria or something to her. My mom, I was in show business for the rest. Now instead of, I'm wasting my life. Now I'm like, oh my, I mean, that was like, oh.
Right.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
My goodness.
Then I introduced my mother, the Franks, to a Dean Martin and
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really fun.
I'm still blown away that you're by a fire with Bob Newhart and Sinatra. I'm still back on that story.
Well, it was just funny. But that's what I mean. Dean Martin was my favorite because he was just a regular guy. He didn't have a temper. He didn't even drink, really. That was apple juice, on the show. Well, yeah, you can't be whacking back scotches. rehearsals go, what, all day, 12 hours? Yeah, you got to do the thing 10 times. You can't keep drinking all that stuff.
Well, I'm saying in Vegas at night with the boys doing those shows, there's apple juice in there, too. That's a little disappointing.
I don't know. I didn't work with that. I mean, I did work with them, but, I mean, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't in the Rat Pack kind of thing.
But he seems like he had the same demeanor as you in that.
He's very laid back.
We're just telling
guy.
Jokes. We're having a good time. Let's not make a big thing.
Joey Bishop was in the Rat Pack. He was probably the least famous. Yeah. He was an odd guy. I had seen him as a kid. I used to watch the Joey Bishop Show. I'm not much older than you. I don't think you were born. I think it was on in 1959. You weren't even born, right?
No, 73.
Oh, 73. It's hilarious.
Not much older.
Jesus. Anyway, so I thought, I'd heard a story that Joey Bishop used to open for all those. And Joey Bishop and Sinatra called Joey Bishop one time and said, hey, listen, somebody fell out, whatever it was. Could you come do the thing in Vegas? And Joey said, yeah, it'll be 50 grand. And Sinatra said, it's a favor. Just come on stage. He said, So I don't think it was ever quite the same after that. And then when I got the Tonight Show, I thought, I'll have some of these old guys. Let me get Joey Bishop on. I thought he was funny as a kid. So I have him on the show, and we're doing it. He does fine. He does okay, Second, my next guest, please welcome Louis Anderson. Okay, so Louis is doing a stand-up spot, and he's doing fine. And I get this. He goes, hey, you think that's funny what I did? And I go, well, no, he's he's just doing stand up. And you're, I said to him, you know, you're just funny. I said, you're just funny telling a story. He's doing an act. So I turned back at him and I go, yeah, you think that's good? He's getting laughs. Yeah, you think it's bad? I was like, oh my God, really? You're that insecure? It was like a nightmare, you know, because I'm like, you know, and I see Louis going, what? You know, because I try to focus on the guests when I'm, you know, and I'm getting this, you think that? And then Louis sits down and Joyce kind of, not rude, but just dismissive, you know, didn't say, hey, really good. I mean, he's a young comic. Encourage the kid. What are you doing? It was just such an odd, weird.
Yeah. I know. Well, that still exists, though, man. You know, that's fascinating that, you know, it's almost cathartic to know that they were doing it way back then. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't imagine when, like, you know, some of these prop acts came along and you know, that got popular. Well,
you know, it's always been the same.
Yeah.
Comedy doesn't change.
You know, Jay, it's why don't they do that anymore? Have the guests stay out. I felt like it was
here's the kind of funny
party.
I'll tell you the reason that is. It's press people and agents. In the old days, I remember George Gobel came on one time and he had this dark suit and brown shoes and Johnny and Dean Martin were out there and just trash. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. But everybody's got a stylist. Everybody's got... The last guy that just came was Hugh Grant. Remember Hugh Grant got caught with the hooker and all that kind of stuff? And he agreed to be on my show and he didn't cancel. So I called him. I said, listen, I got to ask you about it. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I got to ask you. Okay. You know, and he was great. He was funny. But if it was today, he'd have a press people. You don't ask him about this. You don't talk about this. You don't bring this up. You know, so that's the difference now. Because I would get this on the Tonight Show sometime. I guess it'd say the agent would go, my client has to leave. Well, it's to his benefit. We'll promote the movie more if he's out. Oh, no, he's got to leave. And then they would come off. And sit in the dressing room till the end of the show. And I go, all right, you really think that serves your client's needs?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I travel, I go by myself. I don't bring anybody because nothing funny happens to you if it happens to somebody else. You know what I mean? You don't. I remember I was on stage one time and this woman kept going with a pencil. And, you know, every time I looked over, I said, hi, I'm working now. I said to her, meet me at the stage door and I'll sign the thing. You know, I admit, got a few laughs. Okay, fine. So the show ends and I see I go like this, right? So I get to the door and just like it, the security guard, Mr. Lano left strict instructions. He's not seeing anyone. I go, wait, I'm sorry. Who are you? No, I didn't. And I see this woman go, you know, because it looked like I was lying to her. And I go, no. And that's what happens in showbiz. Other people speak for you.
Right.
You know, and when I start out, you get that. Someone go, Leno sucks. I hate the guy. He's not funny. He's terrible. What do you say about me? They liked you. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? You know, I go, well, no, I want to know the real answer. Yeah. I want to know what the story, you know, don't give me something, you know. So, yeah, that's why I just go, this way I find out, like, I see how many people actually came and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I used to work those kind of clubs where you'd sell out and then you'd see the owner quickly putting some folding chairs up, you know, and go, yeah, those are my break-even seats. If we sell those, you can go into percentages, you know. Okay. Yeah, I saw you putting the chairs up after the people.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
By the way, that when you had Hugh Grant on, that like put him back in a good place in everybody's eyes. It was very charming. It was a famous moment. That would have been like,
well, you know, it's men behaving badly. You know, it's not cocaine, it's not drunk driving, it's men being naughty, and it's handsome men being naughty.
You had a great line. I can't remember if it's open.
What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, boom. And then that's it. And then the whole thing was deflated.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it. And he was great. He was really funny. And, you know, he said, yeah, it was me. I was being stupid. You know, he's just being a guy. Mm. And okay, you know.
Yeah, he's a guy right there. That if you're ever in England, you could call. He would go play. He'd do anything with you. He's a lifetime pass.
I don't know. You just I don't know if he would. So I never called him when I went to England.
Kept his career on track.
Yeah, imagine I'm sitting home. I go, hey, Hugh Grant, I'm at the airport. Can you come pick me up?
He's turned his family.
It's the guy. Remember the thing? Kept my career on track. Send them all, you know, in show business, you have a lot of acquaintances.
Yeah. That's true, right?
It's not like friends are going to pick you up at the airport, you know.
So was there a genuine friendship, would you say, with Rickles and Carson?
I think like comics. I mean, Seinfeld and I, and, you know, I think comics have a bond that you just sort of get, you know. So, yeah, and there are some people you kind of always know, well, this guy's a little bit above me, so I'm not going to go. You kind of know where the pecking order is.
Yeah.
You sort of learn, or you learn quickly, and then you realize, oh, what happened there? You know?
Right.
So
it's amazing how much of that stuff doesn't change, though, you know, in a lot of ways.
That's because it's called human nature. Yeah, it doesn't change. It takes eons. It takes years to go by before, you know, you get so scared.
Just did an hour with you, and you're going to walk away thinking, I want to make love to Sean Connery. That really bothers me.
You're still bringing that up. I love the fact that's still on your mind. How did he sense that from me? Was I too obvious? Just the fact you've come back to it. A year from now, you know, I really didn't have a thing for Sean Connery.
How many countries have you performed in?
Not a lot. I mean, no, I don't really. I don't really. Yeah, no, not really.
Can I ask you this? Oh, yeah, sorry to ask you. Have you ever done one of those gigs where somebody with a ton of money is asking you to do a private show?
Yes.
For 15, 20 people, just whatever it is.
I did one last week, Super Bowl.
So how many people?
About 100.
Can you imagine having guests over? We're going to go out to the tent now. Jay Leno's going to be doing an hour stand-up.
No, the guy said, I'll give you $10,000 a minute. I said, okay. He said, can you do 20 minutes, half hour? I said, yeah, I'll do 25 minutes. Okay. And he gave me $250,000.
Yeah, but like, are you up there 25 and go, oh, my friend wants it?
No, it's the same show you do at the Comedy Magic Club.
But could you go long and make a few more bucks for yourself?
No. I mean, I didn't sit and go, oh, no, it's enough. When a minute over, you owe me another. No. Believe me, whatever you get, fine.
10 grand.
When you get
minute,
that kind of money
so
for
cool.
the same show you do for free,
yeah.
Use your head. Don't think, hey, you owe me. What? You know, I got two different watches. Okay, my watch says.
Does that come with a meet and greet after the show?
No meet.
No meet and greet. Oh man, that is legendary.
No meet and greet, but again, it's the same show you do for free, so it all balances out.
Yeah.
We all do benefits. You do, you know, for the heart fund or whatever it is or something. You do those for free, and it all kind of it balances out. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Land of stardust and land of glamour.
We were talking about, in my particular situation, I'm not really in the popular group of Hollywood. You know, I'm kind of on the fringe.
That's so funny that you say that. Everybody in Hollywood says that. I remember, listen to this.
This was groundbreaking.
No, listen.
It is. It's
one day I go in to see Mel. Now, this is Mel Gibson before all this anti-Semitic stuff, when he'd done Braveheart.
Yeah.
And I went in and I said, hey man, good luck with, I hope you get the Oscar. He goes, they're not going to give it to me. They don't like me. I'm not popular here. That don't fit in with this crowd. And I mean, exactly what you're saying. But yeah. I think that's what makes you a performer. You're a performer because you really don't fit in anywhere. So you're constantly looking for the place where you fit in. And when you get laughs, I'm fitting in right now. This is okay. This is good. As soon as you come off stage, you think, well, I don't really fit in here. It's not really my thing. But I'm the same way. That's what I meant when I was hosting the Tonight Show. That's what I liked about it. The people came to me because I was at the, I didn't have to go to them. So, okay, if they're coming here, they must like me. Okay. But I'm not going to their house later for drinks or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's that, I mean, that's kind of where you were going with it. But I think that's what makes you a comic.
Is that part of being a comedian?
I think so. You're just not comfortable. You don't fit in anywhere, really, except on stage by yourself.
That's it. It's solved.
And you really shouldn't, though, right? Because anyone could be in a bit.
at any given moment.
Yeah, but that's what it is. But yeah, but so, what were you going
to
say?
I was saying like I went to the Super Bowl, but I was seated with, you know, in the seats, and you know the popular people are in the suites, right? I'm not in that group.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm not saying.
You know, when you're in that group, you know what you wind up? You wind up doing jokes about, I'll give you an example, okay? I'm not going to say who it was, but I had a big star. I've told this story a million times, but we're talking, you know, doing a thing. And during the break, you know, we're just talking to a commercial. He goes, yeah, you know, Cos, what's I want to get a sports car. What's good? I said, well, this latest Ferrari that just came out is really good. And he went, but you know, everybody's got a Ferrari. I said, okay, first of all, everyone does not have a Ferrari. I said, if you ever said that publicly, you'd be taken out in the street. You'd be beaten to death. I said, most people have never seen a Ferrari, let alone have one. And I said, you know, what do you just live on Sunset Boulevard? You get off the main road once in a while. He goes, and then he realized how stupid it sounded. I said, but that's what happens when you're up in that suite.
Yeah,
now you're doing jokes about, you know, blah, blah. You know, they only wanted, $5.8 million for this house. I thought that was fair. Well, no, most people don't have a $5.8 million. You know, no, now you're not even relating to people anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I want it. Up there. I'm just saying in I think it is part of being a comedian that we're always kind of on the outside looking.
I know,
in.
But you have been up there. You've been invited to those circles.
I have. And to be honest, you're right. There is,
you play Madison Square Garden, you sell it out. That puts you in that crowd.
Yeah.
People look at you and go, nah, I'm never gonna get to know that guy. You know, it's the same. Everybody's always like, yeah, it's the same. It's all the same.
I guess when you put it that way, it's like, who wants to be in a suite?
Leno put it to bed.
See, here's what you do. They gave me free tickets and I didn't even go. So see, that's when you're not.
Oh, wow, not a sting. Now it's back to a sting. Now it's a sting again. That's Leno's way of saying, don't worry about that. But just so you know, I could have met in the box. You could have did the coin toss, I bet, at the Super Bowl. You know, like he's doing the wave. And that's why you're happy and comfortable, because you know you could have. You didn't do it, but you
I
could
don't
have.
Know, but it'd be nice.
You just right. said you could.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean, I'm not a big football guy, so I just think
right, right, right.
Did you give the tickets to someone? Or
I tried to give them away, but they were just for me.
Just for you.
Yeah, right.
No. I was in the suite. I had two seats in the front of the tower. Well,
I would have gone just to look down at it's Sebastian. Sebastian! Sebastian! Slow!
10 grand a minute.
Yeah. Come on up.
Man. Do you think Wayne Newton, the only reason he went to the bowl is because Leno canceled? Wayne Newton got your ticks, man.
There you go.
Talk about cars. You probably got this question a lot, but I don't know it. Do you have a favorite in your collection?
No, I got 206 cars on the road, please. So
206 cars.
Every week I put another sticker on. Okay. So it's...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So there's not a car where you go, like, let's say if there's 365 days out of a year.
Yeah.
I took this one out.
Well, I just,
five.
If I do one oil change a day, it takes me 18 months, so. I try to do one oil change a day.
Wow. And you work on these cars.
Yeah, I enjoy it. That's what I like to do. You know, when you work your hands, it makes you appreciate how easy it is to make money talking.
Yeah.
You know, you take a transmission, like, your hand's bleeding and you smell like transmission fluid, and you make $80, maybe $150 to take transmission out. Or you can stand on a stage and talk. And yeah. So to me, it's like I go to Vegas. People go, do you gamble? I go, no. Because I'll go over there and talk and make money without investing any money. So I don't have to use money to make money. I'll just go over there and talk, and oh, the people give you money. It's wonderful, wonderful.
Now, I got to ask, when you're like, as I tinker in my garage, not in cars, I like wood. But anyway, have you ever like messing around with a car and you stop for a sec because you came up with a bit and you just write it down in the garage? Like, is the mind kind of always going?
Oh, yeah, I think that's what you do, isn't it? Yeah, that's what's...
I was just wondering if you're ever a pad and pen kind of a guy still in the moment.
I mean, you look for those things, you know? I was telling the guy, I have a place in Rhode Island. Oh, I've told the story, but I always go to this Joe's Pizza. This is why I do stuff myself. So I always go to Joe's Pizza. So one day someone says, hey, this new shop on Broadway opened at Nicholas Pizza. Oh, okay. I'll give it a shot. So I get there. There's a little bit of a line, you know. So I'm standing in line. There. Jay, what's up? Joe. What? Joe's Pizza. Hey, Joe, how you doing? He goes, what are you doing here? I said, I said, you know, I got a coupon. I got a coupon. So I figured I'd try to get a coupon. He goes, coupon? We all agreed we wouldn't use coupons. He goes, that son of a bitch using coupons? Okay, now I'm in a lie. Okay, now, just because I don't want to say I wanted to try a different pizza. Yeah. So now I'm like, don't go back. Come here, Joe. Look, no, Joe, I just wanted to try a pizza. You know, it just made me laugh because I build this elaborate lie because I don't want it to.
Well, why was Joe there?
What's Joe doing there?
I think he was just scoping out the comedy. Because it was a new place.
You're like, Joe, I was going to come back and tell
you. See, those kind of things are funny to me. Like one time.
Yeah. Keeping it regular. I love that.
I did a show for a McDonald's, you know, company. So they gave me like a big stack of Happy Meal coupons. And I'm all those people, well, before I eat anywhere, I should use these up before I go to. So I'm driving like a fancy car, the SLR Mercedes. It's got the doors that come up, you know. So I pull into McDonald's. I wouldn't know. I said, hey, give me two Happy Meal coupons. And the woman goes, you know, you're only allowed one Happy Meal per coupon per visit. He goes, no, Mr. Lowe, since it's you, I'll talk to him. I go, no, it's fine then. Just give me a, no. So the matter, oh, Mr. Lowe, what's up? He goes, Mr. Lowe, our policy. I understand. He said, can you pull off to the side here? Okay, so I pull off to the side and the door comes up like this, you know. So kids see the door come up. Oh, and all these kids run over, you know. And the guy goes, no, Mr. Leno, our policy is just one thing. You know, I hear this kid go, it's Jay Leno. He's like arguing about a Happy Meal coupon. I go, okay, I'm not arguing about, I have these free coupons. The guy goes, no, we'll let you have two this time. I go, no, it's fine. And now I'm in this whole thing. And I'm thinking, you know, this wouldn't happen if I send somebody out to go get me some food.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's what I mean. Because most comedians, all the funny stuff happens in the first few years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well,
we all have funny stuff, but our funniest stuff is still, you know, the stuff with your dad and the gopher and all. I mean, all that, it kills me because it's so real. It can only be yours because it only comes from you. And then you get to a point where now you're writing new stuff, but it's based on a different life. You can, you know, you can afford to buy the thing, you know,
Well, you're right. I think all the great material comes out of the experiences you have. Like, you know, for example, I went to Universal Studios with my family.
Right.
And I'm in the park and I'm seeing things that, you know, I need to see.
Right.
You need to be still because the comedy comes in the life, you know,
right.
you're drawing from your life. And to your point, if you're sending someone out to get that or someone to do that, those are opportunities that you're missing out on possible. What's funny to me is this guy's in an SLR with wing doors and he's got free coupons.
Yeah, I mean, comes from being a comic because you're so broke your first few years.
I know.
You have free food, anything's, free hors d'oeuvres, you know, you just eat it. Yeah,
for food.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I mean, in my mind, if I don't work this week, I'm broke. I'm not.
Obviously.
But that's the way I think. I try not to take from principle. I just try to take, if I made some money this week, okay, put half in the bank and I'll spend the other. You know, it's like piecemeal stuff, you know. So to me, every time I save, I'll put that in. But that's work for me, you know. I don't have any debt. You know, I didn't buy, I bought my house for cash. I just said, fine, thank you. It's just a simpler way to do it. Like one day I look at Forbes, it's got Jay Leno's radical idea for saving money. No, it's not. I always had two jobs. I always wanted to live on the money I made as a stand-up and anything else I just banked. So I never touched a dime from the Tonight Show money.
Well, that's legendary. And we all know that about you who followed you through the years. But now, what are we doing with the money we banked?
Well, like, I still live, it's in the bank.
Well, now it's getting weird. Now it's time, should be going to Africa in your own 747.
Well, well.
You know, I mean, do you do those kind of opulent trips through the years when you retired?
No, I've never taken
Have you ever showered on a moving airplane?
Oh, yeah, I have, actually.
See? you know, you know better than the guy you said who said everyone has a Ferrari.
You're like, I can't. Yeah, but it wasn't my plane. One day I did a gig. I got a gig in
it was for the
USO. So we're going to Afghanistan. Okay, so it's Emirates, and there's a private shower and all this kind of stuff. Okay, we land. Now I got to go from where we landed in Afghanistan to Kandahar. And we get on this plane. There's goats. It's people. People yelling, just screaming, you know, and I'm like, the plane is, you know, it's like the scariest thing I'd ever been in my life. I was like, geez, you're just doing these hopping. Yeah, it was very funny.
Oh, man, the irony of that one, right? You're like, why did I even shower?
Yeah, exactly.
Why bother?
My connecting flight was with goats.
Did you, coming up, ever have a fear of not having money? And
I still have that fear.
Oh, my God, bro. Have you been listening to the last 10 minutes?
No, I know, but can you give us any advice now that you have lived a life and looking back, you go, I wish I would have maybe... Because we're always in fear, like, the, you know, could end tomorrow. Do I have enough money in the bank to last the next 35 years? But, like, in looking back, do you go, what the fuck was I worried about? Everything's all right. Or
no, I think you still feel that way.
See? Yeah, no,
the wisdom coming off of Leno is unbelievable.
But I still feel that way.
Again, the beginning of the show, he said he doesn't worry, you know?
Well, yeah. No, I don't worry because I'm always...
Grounded man.
It's like, to me, I don't do specials. Because I always want to know where my act is. I mean, I was lucky. I was on TV every night for 22 years. So if you know who I am, then you know what I do. So I can go someplace. You know, I've had people go, God, I saw you last year. You got all new material. No, I don't. You just have a really bad memory.
Wow,
you know, when you do 90 minutes, maybe 40% is new. But you have certain staples that's like... If you're a singer, you sing your hits and you put the new stuff in and around. And that's so I always know what's going to work. Like people say, now, what do you do when you go somewhere and you just bomb, you just die? Well, it doesn't really happen. I like to say it doesn't happen anymore, but it'll be adequate. It won't be great. I'll think, it didn't work that well. And people, no, I thought it was fine. Oh, okay, that's fine. It isn't like the idea that a joke that always gets a laugh suddenly doesn't get a laugh. It just doesn't get as big a laugh, or they're not paying attention, there's some other reason they're drunk or something. So you can...
It's still getting a quality show at any given moment.
You can still justify it in your head.
Awesome.
You know? But I've never gone on stage like drunk or high or screwed up or, you know, so it's always been... Because I always know comics, it's not the good shows that get them ahead, it's the bad shows that keep them behind, you know? They go someplace, and with social media... I mean, stuff spreads like wildfire. You do a bad show somewhere, or you punched a patron. I know whatever it is. You're drunk, and then suddenly you're losing work. You know, or you do an inappropriate joke, and then see, you never know the jobs you don't get. And you go, boy, I seem to be doing better last year than this year. How come I didn't get that? Has this happened? Whatever it is, you know. See, I mean, you're smart. You're always consistent, and that's what makes it good because there's always. When I go on stage, like at the Comedy Store or somewhere, if I have to try out one joke, I still do a half hour because there's always somebody seeing you for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want somebody going, God, that new guy I never heard of. He was funnier than Leno. Because, I was just talking. When I would see comics get up and just riff, and just waste the whole set, just, okay, da-da-da-da, nothing, okay. I go, you're a professional. I mean, you know, you do the best show you can. I remember I auditioned for Harris one time. I had jeans on. I was at the Comedy Store. I go, Zan, well, you're funny, but we're not going to use it. I go, why? You can't wear jeans at Harris. I go, well, no, I wouldn't wear this. He goes, well, you're auditioning for Harris. We expect people to show us what you're going to do. We assume whatever you show us is what you do at our showroom. I said, okay, so I just wear a suit now. I just wear a suit. Because it's just, I don't know who's seeing me for the first time. And a lot of times I'll get jobs. Oh, we have a corporate event. And okay, would you just like, oh, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Okay, because you don't know who's watching. And you do that too. I mean, you're always very professional. I mean, I tease you about it, but it is. To me, it's the professionalism that keeps you in the business.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know comics that are hilarious, and they all have hilarious stories about bombing at the AT&T convention or whatever it is, but they don't get any more conventions. I mean, you just don't. You're just not working anymore, you know? How many times you see guys get wiped out? They lose everything because of one bad show. So don't do a bad show.
Yeah.
You know, you're better off canceling than getting up unless your heart is in it, you know?
Yeah, I've always often wondered with the comedian in the corporate world, like, oh, yeah, I did that, you know. Listen, you do a corporate gig and there's some parameters. Hey, don't talk about this, don't talk about that. And you respect that and you do right. it. But then there's some comedians like, yeah, they told me not to do that. And they're going to tell me what to do. And then they do it. And the next thing you know, I mean, word travels in that circle fast. Yeah, like, yeah. We told him not to do something, he did it. And
but
now
you know what
working.
It is? There's, I call it the open wound theory of comedy. The guys, I bombed because I was drunk. There's always a reason. It's never they weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
They had something. I had a fight with my old lady. I was pissed off. And there's always another reason why.
Yeah.
And it's not really a reason. It's an excuse. And, I mean, that's why Lenny Bruce, a lot of these guys, you know, drug overdose. Lenny dies on the toilet. Funny comic, but he had that open wound, you know, where you just, you know, and you get around it by going, the ideal thing is, you know, he was really drunk, but he was still funny.
Yeah.
So now the guy's drunk at every show because he was funny at that, because that's his wound. You know what I mean? So it's a genetic flaw that makes you a comedian. It's not a plus. We just live in a time when it plays dividends. I mean, if this was the Crusades, okay, let's march into Palestine. Who's that guy making the soldiers laugh? Kill him. Kill him. You know what I'm saying? Because, okay, we just live in a time now where, oh, that pays money.
Yeah.
But back then, I'd be, who's that guy? Kill him. Kill him. Just kill a guy. Okay, he's being disruptive. You know, boom. That's the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way it was. Yeah. I mean, it's so stupid, but it is.
I'll leave you on this. Social media. Do you have any pressures to use social media?
I don't really use it. I mean, we have it. You know, someone said to me, oh, you should put some of your jokes on Twitter or something. So I sent one joke out, and people just interpret it, and this could mean this. And you live in a world now where you have experts who have gone to college, who study a subject, who write eloquently and intelligently about it. And then you have a jerk who has just as much power, who has no idea what he's talking about, and can nullify everything this guy said.
Right.
In the old days, you know, it's funny, when you talk to people over 40 or maybe 50 or even 60, they think, well, it's got to be true. It was in the paper. Okay, because in the old days, it had to be true to be in the paper, or you got sued.
Right.
Now it doesn't have to be true, but you hear old people go, no, I know it's true because I saw it on the internet.
Right.
Well, yeah, but anybody can put it on the internet. So you have this one idiot can nullify anything. That's what I love about America. You know, America does that. Like, you go to Europe and they go, we went to The Hague, we went to this place. In America, they go, we're at a truck stop outside of Lima, Peru, Illinois, and we're talking, and they're just talking to people, no idea what they're talking about. It's like in Washington, I don't want a politician running the government. Well, why not? They know what they're doing. You wouldn't go, oh, I want to have heart surgery, but my friend Larry, you know, I've never been to medical school, but I know a little about it. If you just let me do it, just let me do your heart surgery.
I want a fresh one with Larry. I want a fresh approach.
I know I could get a That's what I love about you. Guys work in Washington all the night. They know how it works.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like Biden or not, he's been there. He knows all the bodies are buried. He's got all the info. He knows who to go to. I mean, the economy's doing good. Okay, I mean, it's all right. I mean, whether you like, he's old. Yeah, he's old. I know, but there's a benefit to having experience in whatever business you're in. You know,
Well, doing the show too back in the day. First of all, that was your version of Twitter. You just got you're coming into everybody's living room every night,
right?
And the only way someone could say something negative to you and get it to you is they got to write a letter. They got to get the address.
Oh,
at
and
NBC.
they would write letters, you know. And I would just call the people.
Would you open them like at your desk, literally?
Oh, yeah.
Letters about.
Well, I'd read them. No, you asshole, you suck, and they go on and on.
Oh,
you know.
Man.
And I call the guy. And go, hey, oh man, I love you, man. You're great. No, I didn't mean that. You know, really, you're just people.
Wait, you would call the people that wrote you.
Yeah, I'd call them. But people take the time to write a letter.
Right.
You know, most people are illiterate. They can't to write a letter, put a stamp on the letter, go down to the post office, give it to the guy. I mean,
it took a lot of. They must really be mad at you.
Well, they used to say every letter was worth 1,000 viewers because one out of 1,000, one out of a couple hundred would actually be mad enough to write a letter, get stationery, get an envelope, fold it, put it in the envelope, put the stamp on, drive down to the post office.
Right.
On your way to work or wherever you're going, it's out of your day to put it in the mailbox so that they're either really pissed or they really like you. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nowadays, just idiots can sit home. You know, sitting, you're eating Fig Newtons, you're just watching TV. You know what I mean? It's just, you suck, man.
That's how easy they want to make it to vote. And that's very scary. You know, you're just like, yeah, why not him? You know, so.
Well, that's actually why you had electors. That's why back in the day you had these people who was responsible above the average voter. You know, that. So, I sort of got that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it is. You just have. Any, you know, one negative thing on Twitter can get you canceled. Somebody's upset or hurt or whatever it is. And, you know, Johnny used to be, I remember Johnny always used to do jokes about the heartbreak of psoriasis. Remember that commercial? The heartbreak of psoriasis. And Johnny would always exaggerate. And he got a letter from a lady with psoriasis. Oh, and, you know, it makes me so sad when you say these things that I'm sorry. He never did it again. You know, he called the lady and he contacted her because you don't think you're affecting people when you do this stuff. You know?
Right, right.
But the fact that they actually write a letter, right. Now they just go like this and you press send and it's up.
Yeah. And that's what you do. And then I sit down and start my morning, do a quick scroll, day is ruined. Someone says something not nice. You know, yeah, you get 10 nice ones, one not nice one. And
then that not nice one is the one you focus on.
Right. Well, you're making phone calls.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great hanging with
you.
Well,
yeah, so, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, gentlemen.
For taking,
thank you, gentlemen.
Taking time to come here. Jay Leno, everybody.
I go, I don't know him. He stabbed a guy who didn't like his seat. Okay, that didn't really help me.
I love how you say that. Listen, it didn't really help me. I didn't do a bit off of that.
Right, exactly. So it's like, oh, jeez.